Good morning, friends. Yes, it's a great joy and an honor this morning that we have our brother here, Brother Jeff, who is leading the sermon series together. It's a joint venture. We are doing it together as a team. And there are other colleagues that I introduced last Sunday whom we'll be collaborating with as we work on this sermon series. So next Sunday, I want to introduce to you Brother Jeff again. He will just step in. After scripture reading, you just see Brother Jeff stepping in. So don't be surprised and say, what is he trying to do? We are co-leading this sermon series. So it's a joy. Brother Jeff, you have seen the brochures that were down there, the Serenity Prayer, you saw it. He went ahead and, you know, decided to order that for us. What a form of kindness. We appreciate and thank you, Brother Jeff. So we thank you. Let's receive Brother Jeff. Yes, yes, it's okay for us.
Good morning. So Pastor Mbede asked me to speak briefly on the topic of change this morning. And I want to preface this by saying that change is something that I've often found pretty difficult in my own life. And the topic of change is so broad in scope, it's almost impossible to distill into just a few minutes. I think we can all appreciate that there are many different kinds of change. There's change that we expect and know fairly well how to adapt to, such as changing our clocks this morning and getting out our warm clothes. Change that brings great joy and expectation, but maybe also some uncertainty, such as the birth of a new child, or starting a new job. Change that brings sorrow, such as the loss of a loved one. And sometimes we need to make a change. We know that our behaviors and our lifestyles, such as what we eat, how we sleep, how we exercise, and how we treat others, influence our future health and quality of life. And some necessary changes may not be so much directly about behavior, but more relevant to our experience as human beings. For example, forgiveness, our attitudes, and acceptance of past disappointments are all more matters of internal resolution than actual behaviors in many ways. But we can all appreciate, I think, that being able to forgive, for example, can have a huge impact on our mental and emotional health. So these are things that are also very worthy of focusing our efforts to change. So what does the process of change typically look like? Well, it may feel something like this, monumental. So the process of change is almost always characterized by a period of ambivalence, where a person is weighing the pros and cons of making that change. So we can see reasons to change and reasons not to change. And even though ambivalence is an uncomfortable place to be, this is actually the most common place for us to get stuck on the road to change, in a place where we can stay stuck for quite some time. An important part of moving out of ambivalence is choosing the direction or horizon towards which you actually wish to move. So asking ourselves, what really is the goal? And again, it may not be a specific behavior, such as getting more exercise, but maybe just a goal of actually making a choice, such as forgiving someone. And some change goals involve reaching a resolution or an acceptance, such as walking through grief, finding peace about a decision, or developing more tolerance for solitude or anxiety. And I think we can probably all appreciate that understanding our own values can be very helpful for focusing on a goal, and a place where prayer and scripture can help provide a lot of clarity. It can also be very helpful when we're able to share our goals and motivations with other people, particularly within an accepting, listening, and non-judgmental community. So in a very simplistic view of change, an important component on the path might be actually just speaking to yourself or voicing the arguments for change, and then finally making a commitment and forming a specific plan of action. And this is almost always an ongoing process. That's something that we need to continually revisit as change proceeds. And affecting change in ourselves or trying to help others achieve change is a process I think we all also can probably appreciate. It's a process with many different variables, and there's no single formula. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we best help ourselves and others change? And I thought I would just mention this briefly. So I think there's this concept of helping conversations, and these are types of conversations that we all have in our everyday lives all the time, and they might be thought of kind of lying along a continuum. And all these different styles of help might be appropriate at different stages or different times and for different purposes. So on one end of the spectrum, we have what might be considered a directing style, where a helper is providing direct information and advice. And the underlying communication is kind of, I know what you should do, and here's how you should do it. And at the opposite end of the spectrum is what you might call a following style. So this might involve being a very good listener, taking an active interest in what the other person has to say, and kind of refraining from inserting your own thoughts. And I think the underlying communication with this style is more, I trust your own wisdom, and I'll stay with you and let you work it out. And the middle, we have what might be considered more of a guiding style. You know, you still have those aspects of being a good listener and offering some expertise and guidance where needed. So I just wanted to ask, which of these particular styles do you think might be most useful most of the time? Yeah, I agree, a guiding style. So one potential limitation to this directive approach, where you actually, you know, tell somebody they need to make a change and maybe give them a list of reasons for doing it and tell them exactly how they should do it. I think rather than helping, a lot of times people might feel angry or defensive or uncomfortable and maybe even powerless with this kind of approach. And we can all probably appreciate that causing somebody to feel bad doesn't really help them to change. So there's a difference between delivering advice or telling someone what they should do and actually fostering change. So the word confront means to come face to face, right? And self-confrontation, I think, in many respects is more powerful than being confronted by somebody else. So within this kind of guiding realm, where there's really not much threat or judgment, we can kind of invite other people or invite ourselves even to come face to face with themselves or ourselves, to kind of reflect on our own behaviors, our own attitudes, and our own values, and then to let kind of what we see there guide us to the next step. So I hope to share with you this morning just some brief reflections on the process of making change that kind of fall more within this realm of guiding. And these are ideas that actually come from an approach that were developed for the purpose of addiction counseling. So they're used by healthcare professionals. And for me, however, I think one of the most compelling things about this approach is that I think the elements of this style really reflect kind of a humble service to others, which can be, I think, extremely helpful. So it's a concept called motivational interviewing. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. But it's this idea, it's centered on the belief that to help a person make a lasting change, an enduring change, it really has to be internalized. So the idea of motivational interviewing, it's not really a formula, it's more kind of a style of being with other people. And it's kind of centered in this philosophy of just being a gentle presence, someone to walk the journey with, and helping a person to recognize and identify and harness what they probably already have within themselves to find a constructive path and make a lasting change. So the spirit of this kind of view of change has four kind of core principles at its heart. One of these is partnership. So this is the idea that when trying to help someone change, it really, ideally it could be an active collaboration. So, you know, doing more listening, less talking, offering support rather than actual persuasion, and just providing an environment that's conducive to change rather than coercive. And I think in this respect, we can kind of let go of the idea that we have to have and can provide all the right answers. And our purpose is really to kind of try to see the world through another person's eyes rather than our own, or kind of imposing our own vision. And acceptance, I think, is also a very important part of this. When trying to help another person, for example, we don't necessarily have to approve of what they're doing or what their actions are, but we do have to really try to recognize the worth, you know, the inherent worth and potential of every human being. As I said, I think when people feel judged or kind of experience themselves as unacceptable, it actually becomes much harder to change. You kind of become immobilized. But when we are accepted as we are, we kind of have more freedom. You're free to change. And acceptance also means recognizing a person's autonomy, so the right to kind of choose our own path, freedom of choice. And finally also means affirmation, so kind of seeking and acknowledging their own individual strengths rather than assessing what's wrong and trying to fix it. And of course, compassion is very important, so this is really just the idea of seeking out the well-being of other people. And then finally, this concept of evocation or evocation. So it's recognition that a lot of people probably already have within themselves what they need to change, but your goal as a helper, or even in trying to help yourself, is to kind of identify what's already present and call that forth. So I think many of our views about change are kind of based on this deficit model, where a person lacks something that then needs to be kind of installed. But that view doesn't work very well with personal change. So a helpful message is one that's focused more on the strengths and the idea that you already have what's needed, you just have to bring it forth. And I mentioned that this particular approach to helping people in their own change efforts, and even in your own change efforts, is centered in the philosophy of kind of being a gentle, compassionate presence, someone to walk the journey with. And I'd like to say, to close, just by saying that I think this resonates a lot with our calling as Christians, and also with the tremendous hope and resources that God gives us through prayer and scripture to help ourselves and to try to help other people move through this period of ambivalence into really lasting change. And now we'll hear from Reverend Mudede.
Yes, we are indeed blessed as a congregation, and we will continue to benefit from our brothers and our sisters. So next Sunday, we'll have a table outside there. After worship service, you can reach out that desk and people will be present to help you and ask you questions. I'm not a medical doctor, we have him here, and there are other people who are in the medical field, and they will be here to help. So today, after worship service, if you have a question, you can reach out to our brother Jeff, medical questions, and he's an expert in that area. So we thank you, Brother Jeff. Let's thank our brother. And we'll take a moment to celebrate. So I ask Sister Alice and Brother Paul to come up front so they may share something with us.
Thank you. Good morning. So we, on behalf of the missions ministry team, which met last week after church, we'd like to share with you some of the outreach activities which we have planned through the month of December, so that you all can know what's going on and feel free to lend your time and your efforts and your monies to help out those in our community that need some aid. So we have three specific missions that we're working on in the next few months. The first is a Thanksgiving effort for the Bedford Elementary School. We're supplying Thanksgiving dinner for two families of the Bedford Elementary community. So we will be taking donations of supplies or monies to buy supplies for those dinners. The second mission is our Christmas project. We have adopted four families from St. Gregory the Great Church, and we've also adopted or will be co-sponsoring two families from Bedford Elementary. And we're providing, we're making Christmas happen for these families who don't have the financial ability to provide gifts for their children and for themselves. And so we are going to be collecting goods, and we ask if the congregation, members in the congregation are willing and able to donate goods or donate funds to provide these goods for the families. The key date for this ministry is Friday, December 15th. At 10:45 a.m., we will be delivering these items for them to have ready for Christmas. The third ministry that has been continuing and will continue to do through our youth ministries is the Good Samaritan outreach. The youth are continuing to collect donations of goods and funds to purchase goods to create Good Samaritan bags to hand out to the homeless. The homeless communities downtown that they've been coordinating with Praise and Thunder for many months now. And so they're going to continue to do this through the months of November and December. So thank you.
I want to say thanks again, but I want to give a special thanks because last week we were honored and pleased to have Chris Butler and his wife to share with us some of their mission activities. We are all a part of missions, and we thank you for your service. And in Jeff's words, we thank you for your humble service to others. We are all a part of that. Thank you again.
Our leadership representative, one who is on the leadership board, they are both not here. That's Sister Genevieve. As we know, we are having a service of remembrance for her son who went home to be with the Lord on the 11th, that's on the 10th on Friday at 11 o'clock here. So please, let's come and celebrate Scott's life. Then we have Rhoda, who is they are co-chairs of that outreach entire ministry area. However, we have this sub-team that is coordinating the mission ministry. Friends, it's an honor to thank these guys and the rest of the missions team. You know, I have found it always a blessing. We have Paul here. You know, he's an amazing young man. And I thank you, Milford Mill, for embracing this young man. You know, oftentimes in other congregations, when someone who is new steps in and they don't have their family, they don't have their grandparents or their mothers or their fathers at that congregation, they find it hard to serve. Why? Because they are kind of outsiders. But I've seen you allow Paul to step in through the choir, and he has been participating, and he felt free to participate in this mission initiative. That's what makes churches great. When young people are given space to work and serve, you see congregations, they thrive because people are saying, yes, there is enough space for you to serve. Yes, there is there's no interference at all. They just allow them to sow and they grow. They feel they are at home. They feel like everybody is their parent. So, Paul, I'm glad you feel at home here. These are your parents. Your parents, we know they are in California. They were here. We celebrated their birthdays. But because you have been placed among these people, remember they are your parents, spiritual parents who are here to support you as you continue to grow. So this is home. So thrive and serve God, and God will continue to bless you. Alice, you are here. I heard Alice. I listened to Alice as we were at the meeting. She said, we will let other people lead and we will support them. That spirit, Sister Alice, I think it strengthened Paul to serve. So, Sister Alice, those words were generous words. Even though you have been here for a long time, but you created enough space for this young man and you encouraged him. That's the spirit. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 Wonderful. Thank you. I'll move on with the theme of change. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. I promise you, you won't hear any medical jargon here like Brother Jeff was doing. So, but John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, we hear Jesus speak and challenge his listeners. He reminds them he was the truth. And the truth at times, the truth that is in Jesus, at times it brings some discomfort. Because when Jesus speaks to us, at times you feel a little bit uncomfortable. As Brother Jeff was reminding us, at times we found ourselves, oh, I was guiding at that point. Oh my gosh. Then it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. That's what Jesus was saying. At times there is some discomfort. But yet, when we embrace Jesus, we grow. We get to know him better and understand Jesus better and get to know him and serve him even better. To an extent that when we embrace Jesus, we reflect on our relationship. How am I relating with God? Then we start reflecting and reflecting and reflecting. Then God expands our faith and we grow and we realize I need to shift in that area. I need to grow more in this area. But you see, unless Jesus is amidst us, we find it hard to face the areas of growth that are in our lives. But Jesus is there to help us. He engages us and we reflect and we identify areas of growth. Then we get the strength from Christ to approach those areas. Then we attend to those areas of growth. Then we move on, trusting that we are not alone. We have a gracious God in our midst. To an extent that even as we reflect at our diet, we wonder, what changes do I need to make? Yesterday, my wife was sharing with me how she wants to change her diet for health reasons. But at the same time, it's challenging. She was saying, it's challenging for me to give up these carbs because I have been taking so much of it. Now I need to make some change. But yet, as we approach this task of making changes, even insofar as our diet is concerned, we approach realizing that we are not alone. When we reflect on our own life as individuals, we realize we are not on our own. But we are in Christ's presence. As we reflect on how we can change, as we support other people and engage other people, we realize that we are not alone. So we are reminded that when we make choices, making choice is a gift. It's a gift of freedom that we have been provided by God. In other words, as we make decisions, we weigh both the pros and the cons. We look at the negative and the positive as we navigate decision making in our own lives as individuals. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. In other words, it's a mindset shift. And that mindset shift is not easy because our thoughts engage our feelings. But when we go through that process, we reach a point where we are ready to take action. Take action because we've been empowered through the grace of God. Hence, we rely on resources. Resources, the biggest resource that we have at our disposal is our God. For he has provided us scripture. For example, Romans 12, verse 2, challenges us to replace negative thoughts with Jesus. For Jesus now, we embrace Jesus and Jesus helps us to replace all those negative thoughts, then we replace them with what is positive. And the starting point is embracing Jesus. To an extent that we become Holy Spirit-led, empowered to break free, from all the entanglements. So the question is to you, what is entangling you? What is holding you back as an individual? What is holding you back? For us to really move ahead, head on, to face the challenges that might be holding us back, we need honest companions. Honest companions that help us to change certain habits that interfere with the growth. Honest companions that help us to deal with the behavior that might be a hindrance insofar as our growth is concerned. Patterns that are hard to overcome. Maybe in your reflection today, you identified, even as Brother Jeff was sharing, maybe you identified some bad or some negative patterns that are hard for you to break on. We need others. That's why today we have a small groups team that is going to meet and prepare us as a congregation on how we may help one another to grow and get to know Christ better. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, it reminds us that two are better than one. Why? Because at times when you are down, then somebody else comes with an idea. Today, wasn't it beautiful for you to hear from Brother Jeff? Then you can say, well, today I got this from Brother Jeff. I got this in the worship service. Then you can build on that. Then you become better and better and better. We cannot rely on our own selves, but we have to pick something from others as we travel this journey, to an extent that there is encouragement from others. All we have to do is to seek others and let others who are promoting something positive to be part of our lives. That's why we value prayer. Prayer is a resource that God has provided us where we can sit down and reflect in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ, and we say it all. These are all the things that are frustrating me as I try to engage in change, change that will benefit me at an individual life. God, I want to grow. Paul says, I want to know Christ better. I want to know him better and to know the power of the resurrection. But Paul realized that he had to pray and he had to pray and to pray. And we are encouraged to pray. We are encouraged to sit with the scripture, for scripture will nourish us. We encourage us to grow and get to know God even better and better. Amen and amen.